Go ahead and turn in your Bibles back to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter number 6. We're going to read one verse, and that's our passage this morning. Galatians 6, 6. Let's read it together. Galatians 6, verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. We're going to walk through this verse and explain. I'm going to explain what exactly this means. And we need to start with, obviously, the context of this passage, okay? Chapter 6, as the Apostle Paul is wrapping up the letter to the various churches in the region of Galatia, he closes with a few things to kind of wrap up why it's important that the church be the church, essentially. And he does that a lot in many different, in many of his letters. He concludes the letter with basically, hey, this is how to be a church. And in this context here, the idea is that of service, giving of yourself, ministry. And from chapters 1 all the way through, from verses 1 all the way through verse 10, the idea is basically service to others. And we should be, because of the liberty that we have, as Galatians walked us through, because of the liberty that we have to serve God, we ought to have that type of liberty to serve each other, and that is sharing in ministry. So that's the sermon title, sharing in ministry. The idea is giving, the idea is service. So with that in mind, think about what this is saying. Let him that is taught in the word, so who is that?
Us.
Okay. As we hear the word preached and taught, that's who he's speaking to here. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Now, if you're not familiar with 18th century English, the word communicate is just the idea of sharing, the idea of giving. And so sharing, but sharing is maybe the closest word to the original, what the original word means. The idea is sharing, partnership, and having in common, participating with. So the ones who are taught ought to share in, communicate with, participate in what the one who is teaching is doing, but in all good things. Okay, so him that is taught in the word. The idea of being taught is not a new idea to Christianity, right? To you and I in discipleship. That is discipleship, right? It's allowing yourself to be taught and following in that teaching as you seek to follow Jesus through it all. In Luke chapter 1, as Luke is talking, is going to lay out the gospel of Christ, he gives his reason for writing, and he does this as well in Acts. Part of his reason that he gives in Luke chapter 1, verse 4, is that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. So even by the time of the writing of the Gospel of Luke, the author of Luke felt the need to back up what? The teaching that they had already been receiving from apostles and their followers, and to prove the certainty of what people were saying about Jesus. In other words, what people were teaching about Jesus. That is the idea of being instructed there in Luke. In Acts chapter 18, we encounter a fellow by the name of Apollos, and he's doing things for the Lord, but he's teaching in the way of John the Baptist, and someone has to come along and instruct him in the gospel. And but the idea that we see in that verse is that he was teaching this word here, taught in the word. He was teaching diligently the things of the Lord. Teaching is a part of our identity. It's a part of, or being taught is a part of our identity as believers. In 1 Corinthians, as Paul is explaining why tongues are problematic, and also what's best, he explains, 1 Corinthians 14:19, he explains that, "Yet in the church I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue." Teaching and being taught is a very, very important part of discipleship, is it not? The Great Commission itself involves this step, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And so we're not talking about casual Bible exposure. We're not talking about having a feel-good sermon once a week for 30 minutes. We are talking about learning. We are talking about embracing truth that will change our lives, okay? So him that is taught in the word. Are you a person who is taught in the word? Being here, I'm thankful that you are to an extent, but we're talking about being intentional. Discipleship, what we've been talking about over the past many weeks, and we're supposed to go back to Scripture for this. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 explains what is being taught. It's all Scripture, and it's given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so true discipleship assumes that there's regular, serious learning under faithful teachers, okay? You see this throughout Acts, and again, the Great Commission is this process, teaching, so to equip each other. And I think we'll talk about Ephesians 4 as well, and we'll talk about Ephesians 4, the beginning of the chapter in our Bible study time here this morning. But there is the idea of serious dedication to learning involved here. Being taught and learning from it and being a disciple through it. So let him that is taught in the word, that's you and I. Then the word communicate, as I mentioned earlier, it means to share. It means to have in common, to participate with or to participate in. That the word is used in Romans 12 of distributing to the necessity of saints. Philippians 4, verses 14 through 17 uses this word as well. It says, "Notwithstanding, ye have done well that ye did communicate with my affliction," or share in my affliction. The Apostle Paul is telling the believers at Philippi, this is something you did really good, really well. You shared in my affliction. "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me, shared with me, as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." What's interesting about this passage is Paul is saying, hey, Philippi, church at Philippi, you shared with me in my affliction, in my suffering. And what he's referring to is is a monetary gift, monetary giving that they were engaging in with Paul's ministry. But you'll notice that his focus is not on the gift itself, is not on the value of the money. In fact, he says that not because I desire a gift. And you'll see this in Paul throughout Scripture. He's almost bashful to talk about money, but he has to, because this is a useful tool in ministry to get things done, right? But his desire in Philippians 4:17, he says, is that fruit may abound to your account. And this is what sharing in ministry is about, fruitfulness, that fruitfulness would take place, that the gospel would spread, that participation in the mission would be the main objective of the giving. And this is not just for the sake of the quote-unquote minister, but it's also for the sake of the one giving. You'll see that as well throughout Scripture. In fact, at the beginning of Philippians, he talks about your fellowship in the gospel. And so their giving was a part of their ministry, their advancement of the gospel. That's a part of it. And so we definitely see here the sharing, the verse that we have this morning, the sharing is certainly has a monetary aspect to it. It's giving to the one who's teaching so that the gospel is better able to go forward. So that's the communicating, that's the sharing. Then we have the word, him that teacheth. We're talking about the one, it seems, who is continually sharing biblical truth, imparting biblical truth, explaining, teaching, helping to apply biblical truth, all these things that we think of when we think of someone who's, say, standing up in front of a church and giving a sermon or a Bible study lesson. And so that's him that teacheth. You get a lot of instruction to him that teacheth in Scripture. First and Second Timothy, written to Pastor Timothy. There's a few verses throughout there that I think might be helpful to thinking about what's involved here in this. There's an idea of labor-intensive study, prayer, enduring. 1 Timothy 5:17 says, "Elders who provide effective leadership must be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard in speaking and teaching." 2 Timothy 2, verse 2 says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." 2 Timothy 4:2 says, "Preach the word, be instant in season," or ready, "in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." The role of the preacher and pastor, the elder, is to be devoted to study, devoted to prayer, devoted to correction, devoted to building up the believers. And all of these things put together are no small calling, right? And we have this idea, unfortunately, in modern Christianity that person who has that calling, even if we don't say this directly or outright, we have this idea that the one who has this calling of leadership, that it's their job, that doesn't affect my responsibilities in any way. And I don't think we have that attitude here at Bible Way necessarily, but we do have this idea that the pastor is the spiritual one, and that we just follow him, and that's basically what ministry is. This idea of laity versus clergy. The idea of laity and clergy is not an idea found in the Bible. The idea of leadership in a church is, but the idea of a priesthood of some sort is almost what it comes down to. The idea of a priesthood in the church is not a biblical idea, okay? We are all priests before God. And so the ministry is something that you ought to share in. Okay, you ought to endeavor to be a part of. You ought to endeavor to get to the point in your own life where if I were to call you up here and share something that you've learned in Scripture, you'd be ready to do that. Shocking thought, isn't it? Or that I'd be able to hand someone to you and say, hey, lead this person in the ways of the Lord. We don't think like that, do we? And that's because that takes a lot of personal responsibility, a lot of dedication on your part to, wait, do I really believe the things that I'm teaching to the extent where I'd be able to teach it myself and be proud of it? And so him that teacheth is not just so that he can be the one teaching forever. So keep that in mind as we talk about that. But those who receive that instruction, you and I, are to become active participants in that ministry. And it might not look, it probably won't look like I just suggested here, where I call you up here to give a Bible lesson or something like that. It probably won't look like that. But bearing a part of the load is the idea. Absolutely. Bearing a part of the load. And again, you can see how that flows right through how that fits right in the flow of these verses, right? Bear one another's burdens. Bear the preacher's burdens as well, is the idea of verse 6. And so it's not just monetary support. A pastor is probably not going to turn down monetary support, but that's not just what it is, okay? In fact, the verse specifically says, look back at the verse. It says, communicate unto him that teacheth in what? Help me out here. In what? All good things. Share in all good things. This is what I'm talking about in bearing the burden and thinking a little bit differently when it comes to clergy versus lay people, right? We're not just talking about finances. We're not just talking about material things, but we're talking about relational burdens. We're talking about emotional encouragement. As Paul is writing the various letters that he does throughout Scripture, he's not afraid to talk about his own needs and burdens. 1 Timothy 6, verses 17 through 19 is the instruction given to Timothy about this idea of giving, you know, financially, specifically. It says, command those who are rich in this world's goods, not to be haughty or to set their hope on riches, which are uncertain, but on God, who richly provides us with all things for our enjoyment. Tell them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous givers, sharing with others. In this way, they will save up a treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the future, and so lay hold of what is truly life. So the instructions to rich people, Paul says, tell them to do good deeds, not to be focused on getting rich. Tell them to use their wealth for the kingdom. Tell them to have put their wealth in eternal things and truly find and truly get the value that is eternal value that can be had in money. Okay? And the idea of, as Paul is talking about Gentiles supporting the church at Jerusalem in Romans 15, the idea of giving fleshly things or carnal things in return for spiritual things is something that's actually brought out there. And so the idea of supporting financially, 1 Corinthians 9 is another example where the apostle quotes that the laborer is worthy of his hire, I think is what the wording says there. And in quoting the Old Testament about as support. So financial support is absolutely in view here, for sure. But I want us to think about other ways of support. We talk about in all good things. Sharing in ministry, in all good things. You thinking what that means? What does that mean? Sharing in ministry in all good things? Besides financial support, what is that? Well, I kind of laid out a few of them. Relational support, emotional support. What about prayer support? Ephesians 6, verses 19 through 20 says, "And for me," the apostle says to the church at Ephesus, "and for me, pray that utterance may be given unto me." Paul asks for prayer that God would use his speaking of a church that he had ministered to and had a great ministry in, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. This man who's said loud and clearly, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He says to Ephesus, pray for me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, to share the gospel. He asks for prayer for that. For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Colossians 4, he says similarly to the church there, withal praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. 2 Thessalonians 3:1 says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the Lord, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. Some of these, Paul is speaking, you know, writing from prison. And so he's saying, hey, I'm in trouble here, physically speaking. Pray that I have boldness. You pray for me that I have boldness. Do you pray for your pastor? I know some of you do. Prayer support. That's a real support that you can have. And one practical way that you can see this, that you can do this, is for you men to come join me on Saturday mornings and for the prayer meeting and pray. That's specifically what I want the morning to be, specifically to pray for ministry to go forward effectively, powerfully, in a godly way. The idea of also relational support. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 through 18 says this, "You know that everyone in the province of Asia deserted me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. May the Lord grant mercy to the family of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my imprisonment. But when he arrived in Rome, he eagerly searched for me and found me. May the Lord grant him to find mercy from the Lord on that day. And you know very well all the ways he served me in Ephesus. You see Paul do this as well about Epaphroditus. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger that he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. So you see this idea of Paul praising the fellow laborers in the ministry. And these people never got any kind of recognition probably outside of these verses. I imagine there were other people just like this, helping Paul out, serving, making certain that, you know, that needs were met so that the gospel could go forward. You see, in Acts, the institution of deacons is for this purpose, to fulfill some of the needs that preachers and teachers, you know, needed to let go of so that the gospel would go forward through them. The story of Mark is a great example of someone who goes from an unprofitable person to where Paul could say he's profitable for me in the ministry. And this is how you ought to seek to serve, how you ought to seek to share in ministry. Find a need and fill the need. Most of the time, it's probably you just seeing a need and you don't even need to look. Just being aware that the need is there and stepping in, stepping out, and serving. This is what ministry is supposed to be anyways. It's not supposed to be, again, it's not just supposed to be a couple people doing all the church stuff. It's everybody doing all the church stuff, okay? This is maybe a little bit of the downside of being in a large church. You kind of have the option to just sit in the back row every Sunday for, again, a half an hour and leave and then go about your life. And we ought not to seek to be that type of bystander. We ought to be sharing in ministry, each and every one of us. And so the main question is that you? Is that your heart? Are you endeavoring to share in ministry? If you are fed spiritually, share materially. That's a principle here that we can take away from here. Biblical giving to teachers is partnership, not charity. So your job is not done when you put the check in the offering plate, right? Partnership in the word is comprehensive. Remember those words, all good things, sharing in all good things. Everything that would advance the gospel, everything that would help move that forward, everything that could be done to help prevent things that would get in the way of that going forward. We're only going to see the gospel go forward in a powerful way, in the way that God wants it to, when everyone gets involved. That's how the church in the first century turned the world upside down. God had to send persecution to kind of make that happen, but that's how it happened. Everybody got involved. Now, I'm not saying that God here is threatening persecution this morning because you guys aren't getting involved, but that's important to God. It's important that every single one n- not be a let George do it type of person, right? That's an old phrase that Phil probably didn't expect to come up. It's not a let George do it type of mentality, okay? Every single person ought to be finding, seeking out their place in service, in sharing in ministry. And so this passage points out, material support, financial support is a part of it, for sure. But God's probably more interested, and I'm more interested in how the gospel can go forward more through what you take responsibility for. So if you're wondering what that might be, just keep your eyes open. Ask God. Maybe ask someone else, hey, how do you think God could use me? Maybe they're wrong, or maybe there's some development that needs to happen in your life before, you know, you see that come to fruition, but that's what you should be aiming at. That's what you should be striving for. And so share in ministry. Join me. Join us in serving, in following God, spreading the gospel, being disciples, and making disciples. Let's pray.